As healthcare continues to adapt and evolve, boards need to ensure that governance practices reflect the new realities. Intentionality, flexibility, and the ability to embrace change are all key components. Dr. Kavita Patel, Dr. Carolina Reyes, and Phoebe Yang speak to their experiences in looking to the future of boards.
I'd like to switch gears a little bit, although diversity and health equity can be part of the answers to this question, but it's really regarding the future of governance. And as we know, healthcare is changing, healthcare needs to change even more. But as we see healthcare changing, how can governance change? How does governance really need to change? So what do all of you see as the future of boards? And Phoebe Yang, I think we'll start with you this time.
Thanks, Sue Ellen. You know, I sit on a board which actually was thinking about this very actively and being very intentional. And last year was asked by the chair, because I was a little bit vocal about how our governance needed to sort of hit the 2.0 level, and was asked to serve on a very small task force to think about revamping our governance. And so this is a little bit fresh on my mind, but I would say that there are ways that we become accustomed to doing things that I think sometimes we just don't question because we think, you know, it'll upset too many apple carts, or we just assume that there must be a reason for it. But usually the reason is the having sort of been the result of an evolution of events that may or may not have been intentional to arrive at a particular protocol around how we do things. And that protocol may not actually really apply anymore to the reality that we're living. And so always going back, even to the original governance documents, your articles and your bylaws, how you structure your board, how you structure your meetings, what committees should you even have? We called those things into question. How often should those committees meet? How do we think about succession planning for our board? Should we have vice chairs? What's the function of those vice chairs? Is it a fait accompli that when you actually have an election for a chair of a board that it's the vice chair, or is there actually an open election? What do you actually require? What are the things that you look for? How do you start to cultivate that talent? All of those sorts of questions, really being able to have a moment in time and a regularity, just, you know, it's good housekeeping for any board to stop and think, just like you clean out your closet sometimes, you know, to stop and think, do I need this? Is this why we're doing this? Actually applicable to our reality today, and what's missing? Because, you know, as we think about those things, then we begin to sort of look at the possibility of introducing things that frankly are probably more efficient for our board to be spending time on, but also more effective in the mission and the outcomes that we'd like to see. And so as we think about all of our governance, all the boards that we sit on, it's, you know, having some regularity around that, if not every year, every other year, to thinking about what is it that we're doing? How are we doing? And is it really meeting our needs?
Dr. Patel, what are your thoughts on the future of boards?
Keyword flexibility. I think that not only coming out of COVID, but just in talking about being able to recruit and have a truly like reflective board that it, you know, resembles, it doesn't have to be to the statistic, but ideally kind of understanding the patients and the communities that we practice and live and work in, I think flexibility is critical because, for example, I tried to recruit a board member, incredibly prominent community member, and there was just a conflict with like daytime scheduling. Now, that's not to say the board should hold their meetings at nighttime. That's not necessarily a burden on the executive teams that I'd like to put on. But it brought up a really interesting conversation around, you know, West Coast, East Coast timing. How could we accommodate? And in the era of Zoom, just like we're doing on this podcast, it's an incredibly feasible option that seems more attainable now that we can try to do things in a flexible manner and accommodate schedules, thinking about, to Phoebe's point, you know, the scheduling in just a very different way. And then the other element that we've been talking about is also embedding our board meetings inside of our organizations. Most of, for example, SSM, we have a corporate board office space that's beautiful, and it's where most of the executive team sits. And one thing that's actually really helped to just give us a sense of true, not just equity, but my kind of favorite thing is to take people with me inside a clinic or on the wards, because that's where health happens. And so we've been moving to have our board meetings, even though I can promise you it can be a giant pain logistically to keep rotating board meetings and putting them on site inside of a hospital. It's changed our outlook and perspective on, you know, we understand so much more driving through a neighborhood, talking to the people on the ground and literally kind of wandering the halls, you know, obviously in a very HIPAA compliant manner, but we poke around and like kind of see like, what's the nurses, you know, where, what's like the central hub for where the nurses are, you know, what does it look like to be in a cafeteria? Like, how does this really, where does the rubber hit the road when you put the name, you know, fill in the blank health system? So that governance, at least that like logistical move, has made a big difference in what we see and how we function as a board.
And Dr. B, what's your thoughts?
I wanted to go back to one of the points that that Phoebe made regarding the importance of collecting data on those that you serve and taking the time to understand sort of what is missing on the board in terms of not just the skill base, but also the experience, and truly trying to understand sort of what, how to fill in those gaps. I think it's just so critical to be intentional and strategic, and that it is a part of the, as Phoebe mentioned, a part of the mission, but that it's integrated with goal setting into a strategic plan at every level. And to make it as a setting goals, but measures that help us determine sort of where we're going, where we are, and then where we're going. Because if we don't measure it, we're never going to understand progress.
And Phoebe, I think you were going to say something and I interrupted you. Sorry, I will give you the floor.
No, you didn't. I just, I agree with what Dr. Reyes just said, but Dr. Patel really got me thinking very concretely about how I began to do board work. And I'll just to sort of underscore the point that she was making about flexibility, I'll just say I wouldn't have started to do board work if it were not for the fact that the CEO, who was the first woman CEO of a major health system in the United States that was not, who was not a sister, a nun, had interviewed me to join her board. Her name is Deborah Proctor. She was the CEO of St. Joseph Health. And she, I remember that I was in the interview with her and the chair of the NomGov committee. And the interview went really well until the very end, where I was asked, is there anything else you'd like to share with us? And I said I was the mom of a very young child and a very young baby. Most would consider a baby. And this was in 2013, so 10 years ago, maybe 2012. The gentleman on the line said, well, thank you very much. Nice to meet you. And was ready to end the call. But Deborah said, wait. What if, this was way before Zoom calls, what if we allowed you to participate in half of our meetings by video? And I said, I can make that work. Because, you know, it was a cross-country flight for me. I live in DC. This was in Southern California. And she said, let me talk to the board chair. And so she did. And she came back to me and she said, the board chair says we're willing to try it for 1 year. But if it's not working after 1 year, we're not going to do that. And I said, that's totally fair. So we did it. And it worked great. And in fact, I think one of the sisters who had been affiliated with the health system for a very long time had said, if we can do this, why can't we do this sort of, you know, more often with others? And it started to inspire a conversation because people, you know, wanted to expand and diversify the experiences on the board, but having people who also were still in the middle of their careers was challenging to get people to attend those board meetings. And so, you know, that flexibility is really key and was the reason that I ended up joining the board. But if it had not been for this woman CEO who kind of understood the things that I was balancing, was willing to say, we're going to take a risk, but also, you know, look at a different way to do this and see if we can be just as effective, if not more, you know, I wouldn't have been able to start that governance journey.
Yeah, I just like to say flexibility, I think, is extremely important, especially if we want to recruit some younger folks who may be in the beginning of their careers or heading into that the beginning stages of the middle of their careers and have young children. So, Dr. Patel, thank you for mentioning and starting with that flexibility. As we come to a close, are there any thoughts that any of you would like to leave for our listeners?
I'll offer something which is maybe potentially provocative, but I think it's important for boards, not just leadership teams, to think about, which is oftentimes on boards, you have people who are really experienced in their realms of work, but you know, the business of a health system is so complex, and there's maybe just a very surface understanding of what the business of the health system really is. And as we move forward, I think what we want to be careful to understand is the notion of risk. And sometimes I think we think of risk as change. We equate change to risk, but in fact, sometimes the notion of moving in new directions is the wisest, the best way to manage risk. And the reason that I sort of call that out is because I think we've often thought of in the clinical setting, everything, all decisions that we make as being very binary, you know, life or death decisions. And I hear lots of CEOs who are selling into health systems talk about, well, we deal with life and death decisions. And true, we do. But still, at least 80% of the decisions, even in healthcare, are not life and death. And there are ways to manage risk. But sometimes the riskiest thing to do is to do what you've done in the past or to do nothing at all and to repeat what you've already done. And so if we're looking for new leadership, it's okay to bring in new blood. You don't have to have the exact same looking kind of board going forward. In fact, that could be the riskiest move that you would make. And in some ways, I feel like in a broader sense, there are many organizations in healthcare right now that are hemorrhaging. And if you were to get a patient in the ER who was hemorrhaging, you would not have to run every test to figure out the root cause of what the hemorrhaging is before you began to treat the hemorrhage. And in a similar way, you know, our patients, our communities, but also our employees demand that we really think about things differently and begin treating and changing the way that we do things and thinking about risk in a much broader, probably more sophisticated way than we historically have done. And that's really incumbent on boards to get in and dig their teeth into what is it that we do and how can we do it better, but really how do we begin to better serve our communities if the model that we have right now is not working.
I'd like to say that I think the key word is flexibility. There are examples where we have actively sought out candidates that meet the criteria of diversity, equity, inclusion, and an incredible skill set. That's a financial investment for one. I'm chair of the board for California Healthcare Foundation, and we actively sought out a wide, actually, scope of candidates using a firm to help us find those that met that criteria. We were specifically looking for a skill set on investment, but also wanted a wide base for diversity, equity, inclusion. Found many candidates, over 20 candidates that were really well qualified. And that was actually, we had to narrow this down. I think part of the question with flexibility is that we set roles that really are not concrete. I mean, we have certain culture in our board that sort of we impose certain rules that don't have to be there. And in this specific situation, we realized that we had quite a few candidates that were very qualified. We were intending on only bringing in one board member, but we actually brought in two. And that was there was a wide discussion about, you know, our rule is to bring in one this year, but we realized we were imposing those rules on ourselves, and they really weren't rules. It was just sort of a guidance. And I think the word flexibility is really critical. One thing that we do with California Healthcare is ask those that we contract with, that we work with, what is your mission statement on diversity, equity, and inclusion? What is your composition of your board? What is your composition of your C-suite? in many respects, it's an intentional way as part of our strategy to help build the diversity, equity, and inclusion into our sort of our grantees and those that we contract with as an active way to help build some of that leadership. And so flexibility is critical, but also an intentional strategic plan to help build that base.
I'll just add, I can't add it any better other than to say, just do it. I know it's daunting, it feels overwhelming, and it feels like you have to have some elaborate strategy and schema. And on some level, it's just taking that, you know, for most organizations that'll listen to this, it's not the first step that people are just trying to figure out how to continue on a path and just do it. I can't think of anything else we've done in healthcare where we felt like we had, you know, the exact framework and we knew exactly what we were doing. We just took risks most of the time because we had to. And so I think kind of the way Phoebe phrased it, just not being afraid to take that risk. And then I think also as a board, I'll say supporting our executive team that does take some of those risks. So as a board, we can push on that and we can reflect it. But you also need to have a lot of grace and give grace to, for example, that CEO that Phoebe mentioned. You know, we have to support that and be able to do that and just do it. That's how I'll close on this.
Well, this has been a great conversation and very informative. I'd like to thank our three trustee women leaders for your insight. Thank you.